He's good. His love is perfect. And his presence is here with us. I was just thinking during the worship, you know, when did the church kind of ever slip into that mode where they camped around the sermon? Doesn't seem to fit with what I read in the scriptures. You're camping around the message or something. They always camped around his presence. And his presence is here. I'd like to think that maybe we camped about around the worship, but it's not even that. It's his wonderful, incredible presence, and his presence is here. This morning, he may visit you in a very unique way. He wants to visit everybody that's here this morning, but it will be unique, and it'll be just for you. I was going to say all that, but I've been thinking about a lot about today. Can you recall what I shared, this is interesting, a couple of weeks ago? I'll give you, there were 4 points. The first one was focus. Remember what the next one was? No? What was that? No. I'm going to talk about that today. Okay. It was focus, time, giving, and loving. Now today I'm going to weave a little bit what's on my heart into that. And I'm going to share something that, or some of it, what I actually shared with the leaders in Dehradun. This is about 15 months ago, Dehradun's in India. And I'm going to share 3 things this morning, which I felt is on the heart of God for us today. And it's focus, again, faith and family. Focus, faith, and family. I think what we'll do is we'll have a look at some scriptures right at the start. I think we've got a little bit of time, so if we could put Ephesians 1, 15 to 20 up, we'll just have a quick look at that. Yeah, right. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. In the next passage. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises up to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And the key thing there is being built together. One in Christ. And the last one, I love this. This is his prayer. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, you being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide, and I won't read the rest of it. But that's to me, that's one of my favourite passages of Scripture. I love the whole book of Ephesians, but that's one of my favourite passages of Scripture. But one of the key things there is being rooted together in his love. Thanks. Let's see how we go. Focus. Have you got Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 there? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand, the throne of God. So what the writer of the Hebrews is saying there is we need to fix our eyes on him. If we're going to go the distance, we've got to fix our eyes on him. We don't fix our eyes on worship. We don't fix our eyes on his presence. We don't fix our eyes on Capital Vineyard, perish the thought. We don't fix our eyes on our jobs and our loved ones. We got to fix our eyes on him. We must have that singular focus. It's got to be on Jesus. It's got to be on him. He is the one. He's the one. He is all wisdom. He's all grace. And he is the way. This is what I've experienced in my life. The moment we take our eyes off him, as I shared some weeks ago, we spin out. We end up spinning out, and we've got to get back to where the point, we've got to go back to the point where we started to spin out. So we've got to keep our eyes on him. Jesus is perfect love. He spent most of his time when he was on earth was modeling love, the love of his Father, the love of his friends. So he is perfect love. Keep falling in love with Jesus. You know, as I was walking down the hill the other day, I hope nobody was watching. It was raining anyway, so great. Nobody's up there except me, crazy me with my walking stick. And I'm walking down the hill, and I'm actually seeing, I'm preaching to you guys. I'm sharing to the city of Wellington. I'm trying to share what the Father has put on my heart. And this is one of the key things that he's put on my heart. Fall in love with Jesus. If you fall in love with the church or with something, you've got to be in love with the bride. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if that becomes your focus, you can get off skewed. He loves the bride, and we need to love the bride. But fall in love with him, and that'll cause you to fall in love with the bride. So we've got to watch. So I'm walking down the hill. I'm watching my steps because it's pretty slippery. As you can see, I end up wounding myself. But, you know, I'm walking down there, and I'm appreciating again how he's watching over each foot, each step that we take. Keep falling in love with him again and again and again and again and again. You know, the beautiful thing is he sent his Holy Spirit so that we can fall in love with Jesus. So we haven't got this on our own. So if you're ever lacking a bit of love, you just, Holy Spirit, would you please come and just sit on my shoulder? Just sit, just roost on my shoulder for a while, because I want to feel the Father's love and I want to fall in love with him again. And he'll come and he'll roost and he'll sit there. He'll just sit there. Beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is he always honors the Father. He always honors the Son. He doesn't bring attention to himself. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. I think the other thing too, that I mentioned the other week there, that, you know, you can always tell people that have spent time with Jesus. I can. And I think the opposite's also true too. You become like the one that you hang out with. Now, because I covered focus in quite a lot of detail a few weeks ago, I just wanted to highlight those points. The second thing is faith. I love those songs that you picked this morning because, Anna, they were faith and the walking on the water and everything else, changing water into wine, was woven into that. And it's as though you've seen what I was going to share this morning. But our walk is by faith. That's the deal. We walk by faith. Somebody said, you know, we need to put the shield up. Well, the shield is a shield of faith. So my thinking is this: if I'm actually not walking in faith, in other words, if I'm standing still, and there are times when we need to stand still, but if I'm standing and still, it's kind of, or I'm doing nothing, I don't think we need any shield, do we? It's when we start to move and take those steps of faith that we need that shield, and we put that shield up, and it protects us. So it goes hand in hand with stepping out. John Wimber used to call faith, he used to say faith is spelt R-I-S-K, and it is. That's the experience that I've had in my life. And I love what Catherine shared, her testimony last week, is she's actually stepping out into something which is yet not known. And often that happens. We've got to take, this is my experience in my life, and new jobs and all sorts of things. Even you've got to just take that, you've got to take that step. As you take that step, he strengthens you, he enables you to go on and on and on. But you've got to take that step even though things are not clear. Now, I must admit, I've always applied something in my life where I've said, look, if I don't feel that peace in my heart, I won't actually take that step. So after praying, after perhaps seeking counsel, if I actually don't feel that peace, I'll just wait until I do feel the peace, and then I'll take that step. But we're all different, and you know, we need to know that. But I think on a daily basis, our walk is a walk of faith. Often it is. We've just got to keep stepping out. And as I said, there are times when we need to be still and know that He is God. But for goodness sake, don't sit and be still and go stagnant. You know, a stream needs to be moving. If it's not moving, it goes stagnant. Be still at times, but don't stay there all the time. You know, I think that the children, I've been reading a lot about the children of Israel and the way that they've been led by Moses. And, you know, the incredible thing about the children of Israel is that they could have stayed, in fact, they did. In our lives, we could end up staying on the banks of the Jordan River and not stepping into the promises that He's got for us, stepping into the promised land. Take those steps of faith. Take those steps. Step into the promises and don't wait. Step into them now. Step into them now. The promises that He has for us, I believe that we can enjoy those promises now. We can walk in those things. Get up and walk. And often it's easier to steer something that's moving than to try and steer something that's not. So even if you're taking this step and you're kind of a little bit, I just know that the Lord will begin to direct your steps as you take those steps. But you just stay still and do nothing, it's hard to get your motivation. I think that we've been called to a new normal. We are called to walk a different walk. We're called to walk to a different drum sound. I loved the worship this morning. I also loved it last week. But what came through to me last week was the sound of the drums and the bass. I mean, there was something coming through last week that was really resonant. And I think that's the whole thing. We're called to walk into a different sound. It's a sound from heaven when heaven engages with earth, and we're walking in that sound. And I think that's what we're called to. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart in all your ways, I think. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's from Proverbs 3:5, as I mentioned. But I was thinking about that during the week. I was talking to Wayne about this. And what he means here, what the writer means here, or he or she, is this. That you're acknowledging for Him in everything. And He says, in everything give thanks. Acknowledge Him in everything. Not just a little thing. Oh, thank you for just this bit. But it's almost every day I'm acknowledging for you for what you did yesterday. I'm acknowledging what you've done for my family. I'm thanking you for your goodness that we've got food on our plates. Almost everything. Then it says He will direct your paths. I think it was the everything that probably occurred to me again during the week. It goes together. You know, when we signed up to follow Jesus, we didn't sign off up to hop on a cruise boat. Now, Chrissy and I had the privilege of being on a cruise boat last year, going up to Alaska, and it was amazing. Saw some wonderful sights. But, you know, in the Christian walk, we didn't sign up to go on a cruise. Just last week, I saw the cruise boats down here, big boats. I think there's some 3,000 to 4,000 people on board those boats. And over the right, I could see this warship. Was it Canterbury or something? And it was parked. And I thought, now, that's what we've been signed up to go on. We haven't been signed up to go on a cruise. So if you've signed up to become a follower of Jesus, it's not a cruise. It's to go on that grey ship. But He does the battle for you. That's the deal. It's a cushy number. Well, it is a cushy number. They've got bunks aboard the battleships. So we've been signed up to go on the destroyer. And I think that's the call on our lives. We're either going to sort of throw our lot into this deal, or we're going to stand on the edge of it. I've got a little note down here, getting the Word of God daily into our lives personally. I can't do this for you on a Sunday. I can only come and encourage you and hopefully build you up and do my jabber-jab. But really, if you're going to walk the walk, you've got to be in that Word on a daily basis. In Galatians 3, 1 and 3 it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You see, I think what they're talking here is allowing human effort to start to take control. But what I'm saying is that for us who know Jesus, as followers of Jesus, we have him living within us through his Spirit. So are we going to walk in the Spirit, or are we going to go back and try and become dependent on men's ways or our own rationalisation or philosophies and things? So I'm saying our philosophy is a kingdom philosophy, so let's begin to follow his ways and again to walk in it. I think sometimes we just need to go, as we did this morning, and dive afresh into that water. So I think one of the things in today's society is incredibly easy, I find this, to be distracted. There's so many distractions out there. But somehow we've got to ask the Lord through his Spirit just to redirect our thoughts. I felt this morning at my quiet time, the Lord was saying this to us as a church. I sense the Lord saying that he desires his people to return to him again. And I think that's what Paul's saying, to return to our first love, to come again to our first love, to cease from our busyness. That was the word, to cease from our busyness and to sit with him just even for a moment. Do you know that? Just for a moment, just to sit with him, just to sit at his feet. Like me, we're all busy, but don't let the busyness of this life cause you to neglect spending time with the Creator. For me, I've just got to keep working on that because I don't find it easy. My mind's off in all sorts of tangents. Here's a couple of little things that I picked up recently. There are two, faith and love. I want to bring these two together. There are two absolutes. I think that we need as followers of Jesus, faith and love, or love and faith. Now, love is one of the greatest manifestations of being a disciple of Jesus. This is what the word says. They'll know you are my disciples by your love, and the greatest of these is love. There are two absolutes. That's an absolute, love. But faith is also an absolute. As the writer of Hebrews declares, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I like what Paul wrote in Galatians, because this is what he said in Galatians 5, 6. He brings the two together. He said, the only thing that counts, the only thing that counts is faith working together through what? Through love. He says, the only thing that counts is faith working together through love. In Jeremiah 3, verse 3, I think it says, love and faithfulness, bind these together around your heart. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Love and faithfulness, bind them together around your heart. So faith and love, that's our whole walk is a walk of faith. And to me, it's sort of, it's like taking these steps of faith. It's like it needs to be evidenced in my life, I think, by this residue, this trail behind me, this residue of his love. It's like a ship going out in the sea, me being that ship, and there's a wake behind me, and that wake, hopefully, is the wake of his love. The third thing I talked about today is family. And as we shared once before, I think it might have been Andrea told us that family, the word is mishmakor. And it's really, really important for us to fully understand what family is all about, because this is family. This is what the church is. And, you know, Paul emphasizes this again and again, and that those passages of Scripture, which we read before, talks about us being together. I love that passage of scripture that says that to get together we will know that together we will know the power of His love, because I don't think love can be fully appreciated on an individual basis. It's almost like there's going to be a huge explosion result as the church comes together in this thing. So being together, I think, in the original Greek means being together. It talks about harmony. It talks about unity and all that sort of stuff. And I think recently Gary Best highlighted this again when he talked about the fabric, how he talked about that beautiful cloth, and that cloth is representation of shalom. So when the body is functioning together, there's this beautiful cloth, and each one of us is part of that, and it's just this lovely, colourful fabric. And when it's together, it represents something. If you take one thread out of it, it's nothing. It's kind of, well, it's not nothing, but it's like it's not doing anything. But when you bring all these beautiful pieces together, you've got this wonderful colour and this garment, this tapestry or this cloth that can be used as a blessing, can be used for something. I love that. I love that analogy. And I think in Ephesians 3:17 and 18, can I just read some? Yeah, I'll read this to you from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:7-8. It says, "Blessed is the man and woman who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which sends out its roots by the river, and it will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious." See, that's Rob Holt had a word last week about anxiousness in the church, and not just in the church, but in society today. Anxiousness is interwoven with worry, and it's also very, very strongly connected with fear. "But it will not be anxious in the years of drought, the years of difficulty, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." Now, fruit, as you know, is a result of the Spirit. Can we just have that overhead? Oh, you've got that there, beauty. "But blessed is..." Okay, fine. Can we have that overhead about the pole planting? The picture. Yep. Okay. As I was preparing for this and praying about this, I just felt the Lord bring my attention back to a project that I'd been involved with the Poverty Bay Catchment Board. This is back in the 70s, most of you weren't born. But I felt the Lord say he said in that prophecy last week, he said here, "Your roots in CV are sound and ready to draw nourishment from me. Yes, like the poplar trees you observed being rooted, being planted many, many years ago." And during the week, I decided to go on the internet and have a look to see if this paper that I'd written is actually somewhere. And sure enough, it's there. So it's a book, and it's in one of the Australian libraries, but as a co-author to this. But this was a project that I was involved in to try and identify erosion control techniques in the Poverty Bay East Coast Catchment Board. What they did years ago, they stripped away all the trees. And of course, now they've got problems, especially when they get heavy rains and all the banks... the hills start to erode and the creeks come up and everything erodes. So they came up with this simple technique of planting poplar poles. So they're just poles, just a thin pole about that diameter, and they knock them into the ground. They have a particular pattern just around the riverbed or around the hill that's slipping. And these things will actually, they put shrouds around them to protect them from the beasts, and these things will actually grow. As they grow, the roots, and this, what I've done here is I've taken a slice through there, and I'm looking through there. So that's the slice, and you can see these roots go down deep into the soil. But the thing about these is they are all connected together. And I just felt the Lord's prompting that this holds the hill together when there's instability. When there's uncertainty, everything is held together. If you put one or two poles there, and I've seen this, they don't do anything. And I've seen that these one or two poles put by the bank of a creek, floods come, they get washed away. But if you have a dozen or 20 of these things on each side of it, and the storms come, they hold together. Now, I think that's one of the best analogies I could give you. And I think that's the whole thing. Ephesians talks about, as we've read, us being established in Christ. And it goes on to say that when we are established in Christ and rooted together, we will stand against the storms. What the enemy tries to do is he tries to separate us out of the body. He tries to get us, he tries to twist our thinking, you don't need the church. You don't need to have fellowship with people. You're okay on your own. The church is a scary place. Don't go there. Don't keep away from it. You're actually okay. You're born again, but you're okay. But you're not okay. You can't make it on your own. We know the church, actually I shouldn't say the church is, but the church is perfect in God's eyes. When I came along, I kind of messed things up. But you know what I mean? The church is perfect. The thing is that together, this miracle, together we are a force that the enemy cannot penetrate. And I felt that came through this morning during the worship. There's power in unity. Together we can avoid erosion. It's protection. Interesting, we talked about the poplar trees. You know, they do shed, they shed their leaves. But what you don't see is when the leaves all go, the storms still come, things are still together. And I think that passage of that we just read talks about us yielding the fruit in season and out of season. You know, as I was thinking about this morning and just reflecting what I feel the Lord wants us to do today, I think that he's encouraging us again at this time of the year, start of the year, to come and drink again from his water. Come and, in fact, more than that, I feel he wants us to dive into the sheep dip. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen sheep dips. No, you probably haven't because they just inject these days. But in my day, they used to put, as a child, where's the sheep? See, the sheep on my grandfather's farm actually go into these deep dips. So they have these big troughs, and the poor old sheep are pushed down under there, and they come out wet. But that's just to kill the bugs. And I was thinking today, you know, that's what we need. Baptism's a bit like that. We need to be immersed again, get baptized again. We need to be immersed again in his love. We need to be fully immersed again. Even if he's got to get that prod around the back of our necks like you do with the sheep and push us right down. Gasping for his poor old sheep. But that's what we used to do with them. That's what we need. We need to go into the sheep dip again and be totally immersed in his love so all these silly thoughts that we've got and negative thoughts and bugs that we've got can be washed away and we can be made clean. And I think in a sense that's what he's calling the church to do. I think he wants us to be totally immersed again into his extraordinary great love. I wish I could, when I'm saying great love, I wish that I could really paint what I can actually see in my mind right now. It's beautiful. It's colourful. It's love that is so extravagant and so wonderful. You would never want for anything because that's what it is. And that's what I think he's calling for us again today. To step out for faith. To step out in faith. What can I do in this church family? What can I do here? What can I do at home? What can I do at work? What can I do in my street? How can I share this extravagant love? How can I be a reflector of this extravagant love that God has given to us? So Holy Spirit, please come. Please refresh me that I can walk the walk of faith and leave the residue of your love wherever you place me. Precious Spirit, come. Breathe upon this garden and let your fragrance, let your spices flow out of this place, from this people and out over the city. Empower us again. Help us to be love conduits for your kingdom in the city. To represent Jesus wherever we go. That's what I feel the Lord wants for us today. So can we stand? You know, last week the children did something rather cool. This is what they did last week. Isn't that cool? This thing opens up like this. Look, there it goes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Anyone who believes in him will not die but have eternal life. So if there's anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus, you know, we would love to sit and share with you and show you how you can come to know him. It's not difficult, it's simple. The Father has made things so simple for us to enjoy him and enjoy his love. And I'd love to share with you this morning. But I just think that during this ministry time, if we could just have a little bit of time, and I think we have put some music on, but I'd love to invite you to come up. And if you want this morning just to be refreshed again, then just come up and stand here or sit at the cross. If there are needs in your life and you would like somebody to stand with you, then I'll get you to come up and stand, raise your hand, and we would just love to pray with you. But if you just want to come and stand up here and soak in his presence, we would love you to do that. And I'll just pray, and you'd be very welcome to come up.